The Bloody Podcassacre with Zach Walters and Kennedy Catherine.
And I'm sweating already.
Can't wait for things to really heat up in this room, on this podcast, and between me and you. You know, I was talking to my hairstylist the other day. He says he listens to the podcast every day. High compliment. And he asked me.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Adam. God bless. Thank you so much for your craftsmanship. Anyway, he asked me, which is probably not something that a lot of people know, if we were really good friends before we started the podcast. And we were not. Mm-hmm. And so I was saying that it's really funny to me because when I listen to the podcast back every once in a while, you can hear us becoming friends.
Yeah.
And we just discussed that it's nice because we get to learn things about each other. And then the audience gets to learn things too, rather than listening to like two people who have been super close and have like a secondhand language and insiders.
Yeah. I'm trying to even think about the first time that we hung out one-on-one.
It was to plan this. It was to start planning whatever we were going to do, which at the time we didn't know what that was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
This went through so many different things.
Yeah. So here we are. There's no, it's not an anniversary or anything, but.
No, just chatting. We just watched the, no, we didn't. We started the trailer for Rob Zombie's The Munsters. It looks horrible.
Yeah,
it looks absolutely trash.
Bad. It looks like a children's movie. I think it's supposed to be.
I don't know if it is. The Munsters was like a family show, but I didn't think that it was supposed to be a family movie.
Yeah, it just feels weird.
Feels like Rob Zombie really switched lanes into like his high school drama project.
Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out in September on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I will not be watching. Isn't it crazy now that we used to think like, oh my gosh, it's coming out on Netflix. It's going to be amazing. And now it's like, oh, it's coming out on Netflix. Other things that have come out recently. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the trailer for the new Orphan movie?
I did. You sent it to me the other day, and then I finally watched it yesterday. It looks really good, but I do feel like I got the entire plot in the trailer.
It, and also the thing is, like, it gave the entire plot, but it was just the plot of the first one again, it felt like. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like there was nothing new that we were exploring.
No, I don't think there is. Also, why is it that all of a sudden, like, I'm looking at the TV right now, The Munsters. I know the Orphan trailer. I also watched the trailer for She Said. Why are all trailers, like, 2 minutes and 40 seconds now?
I don't know.
Give me a teaser. Long. I don't need that.
Yeah, Munsters, it says 2:30 on, like, the actual The Munsters. But, like, ugh.
Too much.
It's too much. And that's why I refuse to watch the new Nope trailer.
Oh, is there a new one? I haven't watched it yet.
And I haven't seen it. I've been very, like, close my eyes on social media. Do not want to, like, take part in it.
Yeah, I agree.
But Orphan's coming out to select theaters, digital, and Paramount Plus in August. Mm. So in a couple weeks, surprisingly.
I'm excited.
Also, I saw today Insidious Chapter 5 was picked up, and it's going to be coming out July 7th, 2023.
Gun to my head, I couldn't have told you that there was more than two.
There's the first two, which are, like, the original storyline. The fifth one is going to follow the original storyline. The third one, the medium as a child. And then the fourth one was just the medium doing a completely separate experience.
Got it. So they really are conjuring, yes. Like conjuring, universing this bitch.
Yeah. I really liked the first Insidious.
I did too.
I also liked the third, but it's supposed to be 10 years after the third one, after the second.
Got it.
I watched The Black Phone. Watched it last night. It's available to rent. I enjoyed it a lot. We've talked about this, but it's less horror, more of a true crime thriller. There is like a huge supernatural element to it. I really enjoyed it. I didn't find it cheesy. But what I didn't know, so this was based off a short story, which was written by Joe Hill.
Right.
Who is the son of Stephen King.
Yes.
I did not know. Mm. Really wraps it up to what we're going to be talking about today.
Wow. Did you plan that segue?
I kind of did.
It was really good. Because today we are going back to 2017, not back to 1990. With it.
One thing I do want to mention, though, before we dive in. We see a lot of you in these numbers, but we don't see a lot of you subscribed. And normally we ask people at the end of our podcast to like, subscribe. Share, subscribe. Tell your friends. But we're going to do it today at the beginning.
We're going to get in front of it.
You want to listen to this part now.
If you want to continue to listen, you have to subscribe. Nothing's actually going to happen if you don't.
It will. They just don't know it yet.
And they don't know what it is.
Nope.
And that's the scariest of all.
Amen. You better be praying.
Let's go back to October 1988 when some traumatic bullshit happens. 12-year-old Bill crafts a paper sailboat for his 6-year-old brother. We all know where this is going. Georgie sails the boat along the rainy streets of a small town, and as he attempts to retrieve it from where it's fallen into a storm drain, a clown appears in the drain, introducing himself as Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Pennywise entices Georgie to come closer, then rips his arm off and drags him into the sewer. The following summer in June 1989, Bill, believing his little brother could still be alive, calculates his body may have washed up in a marshy wasteland called the Barrens. He recruits his friends, Richie, Eddie, and Stan, to investigate. Ben, one of Bill's new classmates, learns that unexplained tragedies and child disappearances have plagued the town for centuries. He meets Bill's group in the Barrens, where they find the sneaker of a missing girl named Betty Ripsom.
Ripsom?
Ripsom.
I hardly know her.
He meets Bill's group in the Barrens, where they find the sneaker of a missing girl named Betty Ripsom, while one of their school bullies is killed by Pennywise in the sewers. Later on, Beverly Marsh, an introvert from school, also joins the group. Later, the group also befriends Mike after rescuing him from their bully. Each member of the group has encountered terrifying manifestations of the same menacing clown. Now calling themselves the Losers Club, they realize they're all being stalked by the same entity who they refer to as It. They determine that It appears as their individual worst fears, awakening every 27 years to feed on the children of Derry before resuming hibernation, and he moves about by using the sewer lines, which all lead to an old stone well hidden underneath an abandoned house. After Pennywise attacks them, the group ventures to the house to confront it, only to be separated and terrorized. As Pennywise gloats to Bill about killing Georgie, the losers regroup and Beverly impales Pennywise through the head, forcing the clown to retreat. The group flees the house and begins to splinter, with only Bill and Beverly willing to keep fighting it. Weeks later, after Beverly confronts and incapacitates her sexually abusive father, Pennywise abducts her. The Losers Club reassembles and returns to the abandoned house to rescue her. Their bully, who has murdered his abusive father after being driven insane by It, attacks the group. Mike fights back, pushing him down a well. The losers descend into the sewers and find Its lair, with a mountain of decayed circus props and children's belongings, and the bodies of Its victims floating in midair. Beverly is restored to consciousness when Ben kisses her. Bill encounters Georgie, but recognizes that he is It in disguise. Pennywise then takes him hostage, offering to spare the others if they let it feed on Bill. The losers reject this, battling It while overcoming their various fears. It is eventually defeated and retreats deeper into the sewers. After finding the remnants of Georgie's raincoat, Bill finally comes to terms with his brother's death, with his friends comforting him. As summer ends, Beverly informs the group of a vision she had while catatonic, where she saw them fighting It again as adults. The losers swear a blood oath that they will return to Derry as adults if It returns. After the others make their goodbyes and disperse, Beverly and Bill discuss her leaving the next day to live with her aunt in Portland. Before she leaves, she and Bill share a kiss. And that ends chapter one of It.
I remember. Mm-hmm. I have so many, like, memories of It, Pennywise, growing up.
Me too.
And I remember being so excited that this movie was being remade, mm-hmm. because both of us love the 1990 version.
It's the best. Tim Curry cannot be beat.
Yes, it is so, so good. The story in the 90s one, it's good. It just, like, it feels like it is missing something now watching it, like rewatching it, I find sometimes.
It's also pretty fucking campy.
Yes. So when this one came out, I remember I was so excited from the trailer. It had me so hooked. I remember showing everybody. And I have tried so many times to read the book and I cannot do it. Up until when they're like, just about, like, the end of their childhood, and then I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
A lot of Stephen King's writing is like that for me. I really like his short stories. I find his novels really hard to get through.
Yeah, so I was very excited to go see this movie. One of our friends has a It tattoo. Watching it the first time, I was very, very let down.
You were?
Yes, I was very disappointed.
Oh my God, I loved it.
I was so disappointed because I thought it was way more comical than it led on to be. And I thought that, like, I don't know, something just wasn't sitting with me. And I think it's because they made Pennywise, he was scary, and I think he was scary in the beginning, but then I think they made him a joke towards the end. It was what it felt like to me. Like the whole dancing scene.
Okay, I see what you mean with that.
There was a lot of interactions in which I think one-on-one contact was too much, and it should have been more of a looming in the background.
He was very present. is what you mean.
Yeah.
Like, he was a little too in your face.
Mm-hmm. I love it when he's talking in the beginning to Georgie in the sewer. Mm-hmm. I think that that is such a good scene because it's like he's half dark. You can't really see him. He's like drooling.
Ugh, the drooling always gets me. I hate it.
The reason for the drooling is just because of the prosthetic teeth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like a purposeful thing, but then they kept it because they thought it looked like menacing and odd.
Did you also? I mean, I've always noticed that his eyes are slightly
googly, the other way of my cat's.
Yes. Yeah. And it's because it was purposeful. They always wanted him to have one eye on the character and one eye on you.
Ew. No, I hate that. I always just thought that, ew. Oh, gross. I don't like that. No, I always thought it was just supposed to be like, he's like not, as a being, not all put together. That's why he's drooling. I was like, his eyes aren't really hurting and eating rather than like looking presentable.
Right. Like he's more of just like an instinctual being and not really like an actual humanoid. Yeah. Got it.
So, ew, but I don't like that now.
But don't you love it?
I do love it because it is great, but he's also always got to keep an eye out for Selena.
If there's one thing that I know is true.
I really tried to just move one of my eyeballs. I can't do that.
I felt you doing it and I didn't like it because I could feel that your one eye was intensely focused on me, but not the other. Do not keep doing that.
Now, rewatch. I've seen this movie now still a bunch of times. Too, yeah. It became so prevalent in media. Everybody was dressing up as Pennywise for Halloween. There was makeup trends for Pennywise. It was such a big movie. It hit a wide market.
It sort of captures a very similar feeling to Stranger Things.
That's literally my first note is it's a Stranger Things movie with a clown.
Right. Stranger Things is also kind of an anomaly in the sense that the sci-fi genre or the fantasy genre isn't one that is super pervasive in the sense that everybody loves mm-hmm. it. People either fucking love it or they hate it. And yet Stranger Things captured the hearts of such a wide mm-hmm. audience. And I think that it had that too. Like there are so many people who are not really horror fans, not somebody who's going to rush out to see like the next A24 film or mm-hmm. the next Rob Zombie or the next Eli Roth or whatever the thing might be. But people saw this movie. I think also because Stephen King is very culturally prevalent and it having been this remake, I don't know if it was necessarily beloved by the older generation, yeah. but it was known.
I always remember like growing up, Stephen King was in my house. My mom always talked about Cujo. She hates that movie. Yeah. She thinks this is scary. We rewatched it. It is so bad. She was terrified. But, like, I remember going to my cousin's house and we always were watching it.
Yeah.
Like, it was always something that, like, was around. Mm-hmm. And so I think our generation, like, our parents had the 1990s version and then we had this. We could connect two together. I don't know. I love it. There was a summer where I worked at the university. I think I watched it 5 to 6 times that summer. I was so obsessed with it.
It's so good. I mean, it's honestly super terrible in so many ways. Yes, if somebody said, hey, we need to watch it right now, are we watching the classic or the new guy?
It's the classic.
Oh.
You would want to watch the new one?
Yeah.
The problem, though,
the miniseries is so fucking long.
Well, because they put everything into one. Because I think when they did originally do it, they split it into two on TV.
Yeah, they did. It was a miniseries.
Right. Hence
why I said. I remember going to the theater. And it actually scared me.
Like the new?
Yeah.
It is so hard right now in my mind, the word just it and differentiating between
what it actually is.
Yeah.
But when I went and saw the new one, yeah, it actually scared me. I really enjoyed it the first time around. I had no notes.
You were like, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Compliments to the chef.
The only thing that I didn't love was some of their fears. I found to be so hyper-specific that they were fun to watch, but they were not scary.
Right.
The stuff with the hypochondriac character.
Yeah, and the medicine.
Every time I rewatch it, I'm like, get through it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Go, go, go.
I think I don't like a lot of the CGI in this movie is what it is.
Okay.
There is a lot of good practical elements in this movie that are really well done, like the fridge scene, mm-hmm. where it has CGI, but it's more minimal.
Right.
Whereas you get to those other entities and you're like, but then you have like the blood in Beverly's bathroom.
That is.
And that's great.
So good.
It's a mix for me. I'm like very, one hand I'm like so much good. Mm-hmm. The other hand I'm like, if we just fix these little things for me.
Right.
Why is there so many characters in this movie?
There's about 1,000.
It's just like there's too many children. I think that if we If Stephen King, when he originally wrote this, would have taken out three of those kids early, one or two of them should have died as children.
I mean, they did kill off one for the second movie.
Yes. It's just a lot. There's so many people to take in. They all look the same.
They do not all look the same. I find that books, though, it's easier to keep track of that many people.
Yeah.
I honestly, when watching this movie, I don't feel like it's that many.
I forgot that there was, I wrote them down, rewatching it, Eddie and Stanley, same person.
Okay, that is fair, because when I was writing the synopsis, every time a new name came up, I was like, there's another one?
There's Richie, Eddie,
Stan,
Ben, Bill, Mike, and Bev. Too many. Although I love, who's your favorite though?
Of all the characters? Well, I love Beverly.
Okay, yeah. Great, thanks. Beverly and Mike are my two faves.
Yes, I agree with that.
But also...
Wait, no, is Ben the one who writes her the poem?
Yes.
I love him.
Yeah, I love Ben.
I love him.
Ben is like just an actual person I love. Eddie's comedy in this movie is off the charts.
On fucking it's point. He's so good.
One, I would say, similar character that I saw recently was in The Black Phone, the young girl, and her comedy is like this level. It is so good. And I was like cackling.
Apparently, and now I don't know this to be true, I just caught in a review that I was watching that they may have de-aged them slightly for the second film.
They did.
And that he is the one that apparently it's the most obvious because they couldn't get his voice quite right. And he sounds like more high-pitched than he would have.
Interesting.
Which I was going to say for now.
I want to show you after, but I have a record of his most recent show he was in. It was an HBO Max show, and I loved the soundtrack, but he looks so, like, different, but really? Also the exact same. It's so weird.
How old would he be? How old would any of these kids be?
Right now, they're all probably about 20.
No, they are not.
Yeah.
Gross. Wow, he really do be looking nothing like that. Okay, so they're all between 18 and 20.
Yeah.
Got him.
What were we talking about, just character-wise?
His comedy was off the charts. You asked me who was my favorite. You know who I hated? Eddie's mother.
Awful. True. Such a helicopter parent. It's not even a helicopter parent. It's like
abuse.
Yeah. It's straight up abuse.
Speaking of abuse, I forgot how obvious it is that Beverly's father is a full-on sexual predator.
Yeah.
I thought it was way more coy the first time I saw it. And then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, no. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
What a heavy topic to bring on in.
Every single child has the heaviest topic you can imagine.
Yeah. Dead brother. Molested. Abuse,
sexual predator. You name it. These kids got it. Racism.
Orphan.
Derry's got it all.
It's a one-stop shop for trauma.
Also, I don't know if you ever watched it. It was on Netflix. The girl who played Beverly, Sophia Lillis,
yeah.
And then the guy who played Stanley, Wyatt Olaf, were in a show together where she had superpowers.
No.
Yeah, it lasted a season. I think it was called I'm Not Okay With This. She flipped a car. She was running from the school. She blew up someone's head.
She actually did carry it.
Yeah, very, very carry.
Very, very carry. The Drew Carey show.
Drew Carey Barrymore show. Okay. One last thing I want to say is my favorite thing in this movie is when he goes, here, take it.
Ew, that was alarmingly good. I didn't like that.
It's literally like he says every single letter as a separate syllable when he's in the sewer. Do you know, apparently 260 people auditioned for that role. They had 20 options and they were like, we could take this movie so many different directions. And then they ended up on Bill.
I think that was the right choice.
Me too. He was such a...
He is Pennywise. Yeah. I mean, no, Tim Curry is Pennywise. He embodied it so well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those projects that took forever to get off the ground.
Which I didn't realize.
Yes. So I kind of just like wanted to run through sort of the milestones of the creation of this just to show people like how long some of these projects take. In March of 2009, Variety reported that Warner Brothers would be bringing the movie to the big screen. There was a producer. His name was David Kayanick. I'm not entirely sure. So when he learned of their plans to adapt the novel, he went after the job hard. And at that time, Warner Brothers was committed to adapting it into just a single film.
Oof.
Yeah. So he was trying to find ways to structure it that would accommodate such a large number of characters in the two different time periods. That was non-negotiable. So the movie was going to initially be set mostly in the 1980s, and it was going to mostly focus on the backstories. Then in June of 2012, Cary Fukunaga was boarding in the project as a director and a co-writer. And then in May of 2014, so that's 2 years after that, Warner Brothers moved the film to its New Line Cinemas division. And the following May, it was reported that Carey had dropped out of the director of it. Sources said that he clashed with the studio and didn't want to compromise his artistic vision in the wake of budget cuts because it was originally greenlit for $30 million. However, he said that that wasn't the case and that they were just trying to change the direction of the story. "I was trying to make an unconventional horror film," he said. "It didn't fit into the algorithm of what they knew they could spend and make money back on based on not offending their standard genre audience." He concluded by stating, "We invested years and so much anecdotal storytelling into this. We put our childhoods into that story. So our biggest fear was that they were going to take our script and bastardize it. So I'm actually really thankful that they're going to rewrite the script." So then from there, because that's in 2014, in 2015, it was announced that they actually got their director, Andy Muschietti. And that is who would ultimately direct it and co-write it. And then by late June of that year, parts of the cast were being confirmed. The whole thing starts 2009. We're now the following summer in 2016. And that is the summer where they start to transform Port Hope, Ontario. Because, of course, this was filmed in Canada.
Of course, yeah.
And that's when it underwent its transformation to become Derry. So I thought this was pretty interesting. The Port Hope Municipal Hall became the Derry Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
The Port Hope Tourism Center was the City of Derry office. Ganaraska Financial was turned into Montgomery Financial. Gold's Shoe Store on Walton Street changed to a butcher shop. The Hair Design Storefront changed to Tony's Barber Shop. An empty storefront changed to Reliance Cleaners. Queen Street Tattoo Store changed to Derry Scoop. A statue of Paul Bunyan was erected in Memorial Park. And U.S. flags were hung in place of Canadian flags downtown. The Port Hope Capitol Theater appeared to be showing Batman from 1989 and Lethal Weapon 2 from 1989. And then one of the main sets they worked on was that big evil house.
Mm-hmm.
And it had three specific moments in the movie. So we had the exterior, the interior, and then the basement where Pennywise accesses the sewers. And that was the most challenging setup of the production. They really wanted it to be super strong, sort of like the Bates Motel from Psycho or the house from Psycho, and then the hotel from The Shining. So ultimately, the exterior was built in Oshawa, Ontario. And then the interior scenes were filmed in a former hospice. Just really set the mood. That is a 8-year process to make this movie.
And then to start filming.
Yes. And I also thought that it was kind of interesting, but when the first director dropped out, Stephen King basically said, well, the remake of it may be dead or undead, but we'll always have Tim Curry. He's still floating down in the sewers of Derry.
Aw, that's so sweet of him.
Yeah.
So just to kind of add on to what you were saying, Derry isn't... Is it a real place? No.
I think it might be a real place. If it's not, Stephen King's everything is set in Maine.
Yes. But it's based off of his hometown of Bangor,
Maine. Oh, okay. Maybe not.
So yeah, it was filmed in Port Hope. The sewer entrance for the film was not real, but they built it on location by their production team. And it was built in Rouge Valley, Toronto.
Mm.
The house, they had four locations mm-hmm. that they had shot at, but the interior of the house was shot in the Cranfield House, which was a 116-year-old mansion. And it was built in 1902, which was two stories, and it was an actual abandoned house. It was just like a piece of history kind of thing. But since then, there have been 11 productions that have used this house.
Oh, okay.
So Orphan Black shot there, Designated Survivor, Fahrenheit 451, there's one more that I forgot.
Stunning award-winning productions, all of them, you know.
Orphan Black, though, I will fight till the day I die for that show. In it, they kind of redid a lot of it to look more Victorian on the insides. Like, but now they have revamped it so that it's like an actual usable like house for things.
Oh, cool.
I know that they wanted to make it into like an apartment complex at one point, but I think that that was just too much money for them instead of just to like use it for your movies, kids. Yeah. So it took Bill Skarsgård about 3 to 5 hours every day to get into Pennywise makeup. God. And like I said earlier, 160 people auditioned. They wanted to do like 20 different directions, but they ended up going with Bill Skarsgård. By the second movie, they cut his makeup time in half because they were doing it for so long. But in the movie, Pennywise only has 4 minutes of dialogue. Isn't that insane? I hate thinking about that. Like when you think of movies where it's like the main character doesn't speak, Bill Skarsgård... Is it Skarsgård?
Yeah.
I always feel like I'm saying it wrong.
You and everybody else.
Did a bunch of research to perform as Pennywise. So he got inspiration from The Shining, Clockwork Orange, The Dark Knight, Silence of the Lambs, which you can see Pennywise in all of those characters and also all of those references in Bill's version. One thing's like with the teeth, like I said, with the drooling, he also did that smile. He used to do that to his brothers when he was younger.
Well, I also read that he researched the physical behavior of animals.
Interesting.
So he was trying to exude the energy of a hyena, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But that he was doing the lower lip scowl of a bear. But yes, he also based portions of what he did on things that he did to his little brother. And like he said, the run that Pennywise does, that little creepy run, was based on the way that his youngest brother used to run. He said that it was super, super funny, but it was really out of sync. And he felt that it incorporated really well into the character.
Could you imagine going to watch your brother and be like, is this fucking play about us? I'd be like, I remember also that lip thing. Bill was doing an interview on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and did that to the cameras, I remember. One fun thing that I love about this movie, and I wish that they had footage of it, but they didn't. All of the kids were not allowed to see Bill in his makeup until it was necessary that they were actually shooting that day, so they would be terrified. Mm-hmm. Which, one, is a lot for a child. We've talked about that before. But yeah, they also wouldn't allow them to, like, hang out with Bill, so they, like, didn't have, like, any connection with him. So out of makeup, they didn't want him around, so that they would be like, oh, well, that's just Bill in makeup. They just wanted the fear to, like, actually remain on camera. But Eddie, who is played by Jack Dylan Grazer, was the first one to work with Bill. Jack cried and was gagging and was so, like, scared.
Aww.
But then after he looked Bill right in the eye and said, love what you're doing with the character, and then left.
That is exactly what I would
think.
That is
Eddie.
That is Eddie.
Yeah.
To a T.
And so he always called them the little professionals because apparently they, like, were so amazing to work with. Aww, but then would just, like, stop and be like, great one. Yeah, that was good. Let's move. And then you talked about how they changed the town of Port Hope.
Yeah.
Around a bunch. I never noticed that watching this, but of course, people on the internet do. Apparently, there's a lot of
continuity issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the pharmacy, apparently, there's like modern day Olay and Ivory bath products everywhere. There's dome cameras, which someone posted that they didn't come to fruition until 1989, a year later. And then apparently there's a bunch of modern cars in the background.
I did not notice that.
No. But you're not paying attention for those things.
No.
When you're originally watching it.
Did you notice that anytime an adult was watching TV, it was always that children's program?
No.
Yeah, I caught that. Every time that they were watching TV, it was a children's program, and it was like a mixture of someone's voice with Pennywise, always.
Interesting. Because Pennywise is always there around the kids that the parents could never see.
Yeah.
But it also intrigues me because then why can they see him when they're an adult? Why are those kids the one that has to live on with the trauma?
Listen, we could do this with every movie ever. Why us? Why them?
It was also interesting. Someone posted online that, so Pennywise comes back every
27 years.
Yes. And we see it from this perspective, but he's probably doing this to all of the children.
Oh my God.
When you really
think about it. He actually never stops. He just tells everyone it's 27 years.
Yeah.
And then he just comes back to them every 27 years.
He's like, what's up?
Yeah.
Your whole town being like, oh my God.
What?
Sorry. Imagine your whole town being ridiculed by clowns. But then we had the clown fiasco in the States.
We did. In 2016. There was a whole fucking... I just listened to a podcast about it, actually.
I really thought that was the end of times. My end of times.
That was hardly the worst.
That was barely barely a dent.
Not even scratching the surface on what was to fucking come.
So, I was so scared, though.
Clowns never scared me. Fuck with me. What are you gonna do?
Specifically, somebody carrying a weapon.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's fucking scary. Yeah. But that can happen at any time.
But dress up like a clown.
Listen.
I know. But speaking of the clown, Pennywise is really woven throughout so many Stephen King novels.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize the extent of it until I did some more research.
You can find ways to create an entire universe out of Stephen King's work.
There is, apparently. Yeah. So these are some kind of quick things that I figured out. Pennywise, 2 million years old.
Wow, good for him. He looks great.
He's looking great. Also known as It, or Pennywise, is a shape-shifting creature known as a glamour.
I want to be called that.
Apparently he's been living on Earth for very, very long times. but he originates from a void outside of our space.
Cool.
So his species, like subspecies of Glamour, is called Deadlights, which the form is a female spider, is what we best as...
What the fuck? What is happening right now?
I know, there's a lot okay. to what Pennywise is. It goes into every genre. Male, female, non-binary, animal, furry, you name it. That's me. Move over, Babadook. There's a new queer in town. It's named Pennywise.
Or it.
It.
The next gender.
But anyways, the quote-unquote final form of Pennywise is supposed to be a female spider, which is what we see in the last movie of...
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being... But it's not actually. It's just the closest thing that humans can conjure up. So those glowing orbs in the back of its mouth, also known as the Deadlights, which is a way that they hypnotize their prey so that they can eventually eat them. It can morph into any human animal, non-human animal, object, or combination. Its most common form is a circus performer because small children love a clown. And it's its favorite form to take. I know, right? Like, if I saw a clown as a child in the sewer, absolutely not. I'm gone. I'm not going near a sewer.
The fastest I could have moved is if I saw a fucking clown in a sewer. Are you kidding me?
If I just saw a clown in general. Or just a sewer. It could be empty. I'm not going near it. Mm-mm. Pennywise... The dancing clown is the favorite form to take of it, but it apparently doesn't appear as often as you think it does in the actual novel. It loves to be the more shapeshifter of what the victims are actually scared mm-hmm. of. It doesn't have a real name, but sometimes in the novel, it calls itself by the name of Robert Gray. Although it might be an allusion to a real-life child cannibal, Albert Fish, who used the name Robert Gray.
Oh my god. Oh, Albert Fish is a horrible yeah. fucking story. I mean, horrible man.
And it also might get the name from... Robert Bob Bell, who was also the original Bozo the Clown. Mm. Its primary goal is to feed on humans, generally preferring children over adults since they were easier to scare and manipulate. According to the creature, frightened flesh tastes better and uses fear to salt the meat. It is mentioned in Grey Matter, Dreamcatcher, Hearts in Atlantis, 1122-63, Insomnia, Nosferatu, and Elevation. It is also a minor antagonist in The Tommyknockers and referenced in the Dark Tower film.
I love The Tommyknockers.
So, so much of this, like, one character, like, spread out through all the Stephen King universe.
He's such a genius.
Because, like, when you think about it, like, it could be the same thing, like, of the creatures in the mist.
Yeah.
Or it could be just people, mm-hmm. Nosferatu. It could be anything in the dark matter. Apparently, it does have a rival, which takes the shape of a turtle.
Okay, not what I was expecting, but tell me more.
It's called the Maturin. It exists in this universe and also in many other universes. We exist in the one that it puked up when it had a brutal stomach ache.
Honestly, I would love if my origin story was just somebody had a brutal stomach ache and puked me up. That makes sense for me.
I mean, it kind of is a brutal stomach ache. It's a 9-month long one.
Brutal stomach ache.
And it just goes, and you shit on the table. Anyways, so this turtle, though, is power enough to, like, puke up a universe, but can't defeat a clown.
This is, like, the concept of God, too. I'm like, oh, so you can do all of this.
But you can't do the minuscule things that you've been asked.
But you can't stop COVID. You can't stop yeah. cancer. You can't stop war.
No.
Suck my ass.
Ask and you shall receive. God? I would love to see more of this universe expanded. Mm-hmm. I wish that Stephen King, even though it's a lot, because Stephen King writes, like, 50-100 books a year... to, like, kind of do more with the actual, like, Pennywise the Dancing Clown aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the director of the new version that we're talking about today, there was enough content that he could have made a third movie, and he's considered, like, trying to, like, figure out how to expand it.
Just make it into a series.
I this would be such a good, like, HBO Max series.
It really would.
Because you could flesh out the characters. Do you know what I think would be a great idea? Mm. Is if they did... every character is an episode.
Yes.
And then have the last episode where they're all together.
That would be such a great way to do it.
And then you go to season 2. It's only a 2-season thing. Then it's the adults again, but it goes backwards from the way that we did it.
Cool.
So you go Bill, Bev, blah, blah, blah. But then it goes Bev, Bill.
Got it.
It's like the middle.
You've really thought this out.
I'm literally making it up on the spot. But I think it would be a good TV series.
It would be. I've always thought that.
It has to end after 2 or 3 seasons. It cannot run on longer. I do not want to see it go on for longer than it needs to. It doesn't need to be a Riverdale.
It doesn't need to be a fucking American Horror Story.
No. But it just has to have enough time to flesh out all the characters and give them their time to shine, and Pennywise to prey on them all.
If they did make it into a series, then we wouldn't have had the fifth highest grossing R-rated movie of all time.
It's also the number one Stephen King highest rated grossing movie of all time. R-rated. That's one thing like we never talk about is the actual like MPAA. Is that what it's called? MMPAs?
MPA.
Motion. We never talk about that in relation to how actually like it relates to the movie.
Well, I mean, we do sometimes, I guess, in the sense that sometimes certain things get cut in order to get certain ratings. But for the most part, it's pretty irrelevant to the genre.
Are you ready for my last big part?
I am ready.
It's my favorite thing about this movie. Pennywise comes every 27 years. Mm-hmm. When this movie was released, it was 27 years after the original movie came out.
What? Did they plan that?
No.
That's wild.
So apparently it was not intentional by the filmmakers, but in 1990, the original came out. Then in 2017, 27 years later,
it came back.
It came back. Isn't that wild?
That's really poetic.
People have gone like way deeper to be like, so the movie came out on 9/8/2017. If you add all those numbers up together, it's 27. Mm-hmm. And then the second film came out on 9/6/2019. If you add all those numbers up, it's 27.
Oh my goodness. I love a conspiracy.
Jonathan Brandis, who played young Bill in the original film, died at 27. Mm-hmm. The movie was released 1 month after Bill Skarsgård's 27th birthday.
Good for him.
Jaden Martell, Jeremy Ray Taylor, who's Bill and Ben, and then Nicholas Hamilton, who plays Henry the Bully, who is a raging gay icon now.
Is he?
Yes.
He's so fucking scary.
If you go on his TikTok, they're all exactly 27 years younger than the actors who play them later.
That is wild.
In the miniseries.
Right, I know what you mean.
There's just so many, like, random coincidences.
Nothing in this world is a coincidence.
No, 27.
That's actually really interesting. I like that.
The coincidence of it being released 27 years later, I'm like, no, they had to have planned that.
But they didn't. I mean, look at the evolution of this.
True.
If it had happened in its original form with its original directors, it could have come out 3 years earlier.
So now I'm wondering, do you think in 27 years from 2017, they're going to try to do something again?
I hope not.
We won't be here.
That will be a young death, but all right.
I just meant like here.
Oh.
No, we would have to do a podcast reunion.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Televised.
Anyways, that's all I have to say.
That's all I have to say too, because we are going to return for chapter two at some point, so we can't burn all of our content. Mm-hmm.
I have three favorite scary parts.
Oh, tell me.
Sewer.
Yep.
I loved the scene with the projector.
Me too. It gets me every
time.
It's
so scary. Yep. And like with slow moving hair. The scene where it's just Pennywise and Eddie, and he has the hand, and he's waving. Is that in this one?
It is, yeah.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's one more, but I can't remember it right now.
I actually really hate the butcher scene when he's going through the alley.
Yes.
That part freaks me out.
Yeah. That one's, like, personal.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it is.
The library scene I also really enjoy.
Ooh, yep.
Everything is good.
There is some, like, there's just some really good, like, isolated scenes.
Yes, there is.
With the characters.
Mm-hmm. It's a really fun movie, too.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fun for all ages. Well,
we gotta rate it.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, scary.
Five or six.
Yeah, I can go at middle of the road. We'll go five.
Yeah, there's some moments that are scarier than others, but I think to each their own.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Story, is that next?
Unsettling. The first time I saw it, I remember it sitting with me in some type of way, but really, like a three, maybe a two.
Yeah, I would say a three max.
Yeah.
Then story.
10.
Wow.
It's a Stephen King story. What more do you want?
I know, but I'm still going to give it a 7. I don't think it's the best thing out there.
In terms of its story, meaning like it, the movie, yeah. Not it, the character, it's a pretty well fleshed out fucking story.
Yeah, it is. I'm still sticking with a 7.
All right. Is it a paper cut or is it a bloody massacre? It is Georgie minus one arm. That scene was brutal. I always forget that happens.
Same, but I'm always into it until he opens his mouth.
Yeah, that part is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm just like, whoa, okay. But then that woman, she's sitting on her thing and she says, street full of blood, never saw. That would be me.
You know who Pennywise looked like in that scene?
Who? I'm scared.
Deborah Logan.
Yes, it's the balding.
Unhinged jaw.
Receding hairline. Yeah.
Well.
We did it.
We will see you again. Sorry for the Friday release. People got sick. We had things to do.
Me.
But we'll be back again. Like, subscribe, comment, Leave a rating, a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. And sometimes we upload funny stuff to Twitter. And it's all at Podcastacre. And you can leave us an email at thebloodypodcastacre@gmail.com. Until next time.
You'll float too. You'll float too. I was going to really... I can't. I was going to start screaming.
No, that's not a good idea.